Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Hope you're all still with us. So you might be asking why I got involved in health immigrant research, and in particular with African, East African-born women. I had, prior to doing work with this, done a lot of work with Latino populations, immigrant populations, as well as Cape Verdean population in Boston, Massachusetts. Having moved to Washington, D.C., it was very evident from the start in 2010 that very little work had been done with African-born immigrant women and communities in Washington, D.C., which was very surprising given that D.C. is a gateway for immigrant and refugee populations as well. Following New York in terms of absolute numbers, proportionately, Washington, D.C. has a large number of African-born populations, and in particular, East African populations, hence why I decided to do this work. So the talk is entitled, Getting Tested is Almost Like Going to the Salem Witch Trial, Discordant Discourses Between Western Public Health Messages and Sociocultural Expectations Surrounding HIV Testing Among East African Immigrant Women. I have no conflicts to disclose. Okay, Washington, D.C., we know, has the highest AIDS diagnosis rate in the United States. 3.2% of the adult population, mostly in wards 5, 6, and 8, which are high poverty wards, are living with HIV, AIDS. Black women in particular in D.C. account for an alarming 91%. Living with HIV AIDS, even though they represent 55% of the female population in the district. Most, 85%, acquire HIV through heterosexual sex. And again, black women are disproportionately affected. We also know that HIV testing is an entryway, first entryway into vital treatment services. So before we can think about the HIV care curriculum, care continuum, we have to think about prevention, we have to think about HIV testing as a mechanism clearly to reduce the spread of HIV. We also know that foreign-born blacks have a lower rate of recent HIV testing than US-born blacks. In the district, we know that black African immigrants comprise 11% of the immigrant population, and one of every five is from Ethiopia. So that's actually the largest East African group, 19% of the total African immigrant population in the area. So this was a qualitative study done in partnership with the Women's Collective, which is a DC-based HIV/AIDS service organization. That cares for both African American and African immigrant populations, and now more increasingly Latino populations as well in the district, in terms of the whole continuum of HIV care. To date, there are no studies that examine culturally, what I'm terming culturally specific perceptions of HIV testing among East African immigrant women, in part to better understand the barriers to testing, especially as we think about a context of routinized opt-out test and treat services that is part of the national strategy. So it's important to think about what the cultural specific understandings and perceptions of these women are. So the primary aim of the qualitative research is to examine East African-born women's HIV testing perceptions and partner communication norms. And I should also say that this is part of a larger study looking at barriers of HIV testing, perceptions of HIV in general, stigma issues both in country of origin and in the host context in DC. The theoretical model that was used to help interpret and analyze the findings was Eric Goumba's and Webster model, and I'm mispronouncing his name, I'm so sorry. The PEN3 cultural model, with which many of you might be familiar with, that looks at three domains. For the purposes of time, I'm not going to get into each of them, but there's cultural empowerment, and I'll explain a little bit as I interpret the findings. Relationships and expectations, and cultural identity. So the population for the sample is East African-born women, so Tanzania, Kenya, Eritrean, and Ethiopian, and it was proportionately, in terms of a maximizing heterogeneity among the sample, we tried to look to proportionally look to more Eritrean and Ethiopian women, given that they were the largest group. Most had some college but no degree, which is very typical of African-born population, who tend to be highly educated immigrants. Most were employed with a salary between $25,000 and $50,000. In terms of religious affiliation, Orthodox Christian or other Christian. So this was a sample of 25 women. Trained interviewers conducted in-depth, semi-structured interviews and cognitive interviews that were meant to probe and look more carefully to make sure that we were understanding the responses in a culturally appropriate manner in the way that we were intending to also ask them. And the analysis strategy was qualitative thematic analysis. So what was clear in the findings, and I'll describe the three domains from the theoretical framework, is that the public health discourse that's rooted in Western individual ideology, which women were very familiar with, they were very knowledgeable, as some of the colleagues mentioned here previous to me, knowledge is usually not a barrier. So the knowledge was there, it was mostly saturated, they had understood it, they absorbed the messages. However, in practice, what we saw was that there were discordant responses as we probed further with their sociocultural expectations. And let me just take a minute to define what I'm thinking about in terms of sociocultural expectations. Group identity-based beliefs that are not explicitly codified, but that clearly impact, are implicitly understood and disseminated through social interactions with other community members. So there were discordant responses between what they knew, the public health messaging around HIV testing, which was, as I said, rooted in individual responsibility around HIV tests, and their sociocultural expectations. So the first domain is relationships and expectations. And here we're thinking about the influence of relationships and sociocultural expectations on perceptions and behavior as they relate to HIV testing. So HIV testing is viewed as a function of broader social cultural context. It was very clear as we asked the women that they understood that everyone should get tested, that again, this is an important mechanism to prevent the spread of HIV. So one quote is from one of the women is, being responsible and taking care of one's health is important. Everyone should get an HIV test. And she went on in terms of thinking about how important that is to do. The sociocultural expectation was that one does not need to get tested for HIV if one is following cultural norms. And in particular, they were thinking about abstinence if unmarried and monogamous relationships when married. So when you're in a monogamous relationship, you don't need to get tested. So monogamous relationships is seen as a protective factor. Hence, why would you need to get an HIV test? The second domain is cultural empowerment. Here we're understanding culture as an instrument of empowerment, whereby culture represents the continuum of values and religion and relationships ranging from positive, which promote HIV testing, to existential, which pose no threat to health, to negative, which impede HIV testing. So in terms of the public health messaging that one social network would be supportive, that friends, family, etc., would be supportive if one decided to get an HIV test, that was very clear. No sort of friction would arise if my community knew I got tested. I think they would be open-minded. However, in terms of when probed further, the sociocultural expectation was that getting an HIV test brings shame to the person who gets the test and also to one's family and community. So getting tested is almost like going to the Salem witch trials. The witches are doers of all evil. It is a metaphor of everything that they have done wrong, especially if you're not supposed to be having sex because you're not married. They assume that is the only way you can get it. Getting an HIV test also brings shame to the family. And finally, the third domain, cultural identity, here we're examining how HIV testing is produced through multiple identities that's manifested in women in the context of their spousal relationships, family relationships, and community relationships. So the public health messaging here was one should talk to one's spouse about HIV testing, that it's important to go and get your partner and get tested together. My spouse and I need to be big on talking about testing, and it's not only for HIV, but for everything, just to make sure that we are in perfect health at all times. Discordant with the expectation that one should not talk with one's spouse about HIV testing, doing so breaks cultural norms. It's a signal for disrespect. It's a signal of distrust. So asking a partner is something that never happens. I think it's just something you simply do not do in my culture. Okay, to conclude, while East African participants were aware, as I mentioned, and expressed and were able to express messages related to Western public health discourse, they also expressed divergent sociocultural expectations, which again are not explicit, they're implicit in one's interactions with one's spouse, with one's family and one's community. They're deeply rooted in both cultural and religious norms. A focus on individual behavior alone at the exclusion of the cultural context can clearly limit the effectiveness of HIV prevention interventions with immigrant women. So, importance of adopting, in terms of implications, a culture-centered approach in developing effective and culturally imbued HIV testing prevention messages. Conventional health behavior theories that often focus on individual behavior change is not enough, and clearly the PEN-3 cultural model offers a different approach that extends beyond the individual to thinking about interpersonal and family and community networks. An essential ingredient for promoting HIV testing is an understanding of not only individual level factors, but again, thinking about the couple, the family, and community networks. I'd like to thank the community, the Women's Collective, and the Developmental Center for AIDS Research, which is an NIH program that funded this study. Thank you. Thank you.